Good morning. I'm reading from my father's Bible. He was a veteran, just honoring him. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 to 31. For just as a body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink for one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the organs in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single organ, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body which seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those parts of the body which we think less honorable, we invest with the greater honor, and are which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so adjusted the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, then healers, helpers, administrators, speakers in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way.
Well, today's the last sermon in our series on spiritual gifts. And we began by talking about Paul Brand's book, Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. He's the leprosy doctor who talked about leprosy and how it affects the body and how the body is similar to the body of Christ. And I want to come back to the body in today's sermon. But first, if you were hoping in this spiritual gifts series that I would give you the definitive answer about what your spiritual gift is, you are no doubt disappointed. But I actually find most of the stuff that claim to do that to be terribly subjective and me-centered. My recommendation to people is not to spend a whole lifetime agonizing and looking at their navels looking for the meaning of life, because I think it is far simpler than that. Spiritual gifts are first of all, just that. They're gifts. And they come to us in our birth. They come to us in our growth and our maturity. They come to us in our relationship with God. There are a number of ways that our lives are blessed by God with these gifts. I think that when you start looking at that and wondering about that, you need to ask, what is my personality like? How does that enter into it? What am I really good at? Where do I rise and shine in my life? I need to pay attention to stuff like that. I think also, to some degree, passion enters into it, although I would issue a caution with that. But what are you passionate about? What are the things that really set you on fire when you do them, that you feel inspired about in terms of your performance of it? Now, I would issue a caution about what you feel passionate about, because you could be, Matt and I were talking about this earlier, you could be passionate about WWF and wrestling. So I think you have to ask the question, what is it about this thing that I feel so passionate about that I can contribute back to the body of Christ, to the church? Because we've already talked about the fact that our gifts are meant to serve the church, the body, to create maturity and relationship to God and others with whom we're associated in the church. I think when we're thinking about spiritual gifts, we need to be wary of those times when we may feel jealous or indifferent about a gift. Sermon. No, I'm good. I think I'm good. I want to say that a spiritual gift ought to be approached as something that makes me responsible, that I feel responsibility and accountability about. Not that I'm indifferent about, that I don't care if I do this or not do this. I also think that in my experience, that a lot of times when churches do this and they give people inventories, they ask questions about things like service, and to that they will connect washing dishes and sweeping floors. And so we can certainly see times when people seem to have great facility for that. They seem to do it so naturally. I've talked to you about Duane Baker, one of our elders in Texas, and guy's an anesthesiologist, a medical doctor. After every potluck at our church, you could see Duane in there sweeping the floors. And he did that naturally. He just did it without even thinking. And he had an inclination. He had I would call it kind of a giftedness toward being particularly attuned to that in the church. And he gave that way. When Mildred's cat died, Duane went and put a book in the library. And there were a lot of us that laughed at that. A book in the library for a cat, but Duane was serving Mildred, and it brought tears to Mildred's eyes when she realized that Duane cared about her so much as to do this. That's service. But the thing that I was really headed toward in this is, this does not give me the right to say, oh, that is not my gift, I'm not going to help you sweep the floor. This is not my gift, I'm not going to contribute a food to the potluck. You understand what I'm saying? There's some balance in here as we think about that. So in Paul's opening salvo and in this text that Robin read to us, Paul talks about the human body as parts. So there's reproductive parts, and there's cardiovascular parts, and there's the digestive system, and the nervous system, and there's all these parts and pieces of us that make us operate like we do. There's a Netflix show that I like, and it's called Grand Designs, and it's people that build these homes that are really interesting for various reasons. One was a vet from the Iraq War, and he lost all but one limb. And it showed how he had designed this house and lived in this house with his wife and child in spite of this great, terrible thing that had happened to him. He would tell you that it's really helpful when you have all of your limbs. He said, I can still operate with one arm, but it'd be really helpful to have the two legs and the other arm. Body needs all its parts. Paul says the body cannot function without the various systems. He said, what would happen if the whole body was just a big eye? What would that be like? Well, it wouldn't be a very effective body. It couldn't talk, it couldn't hug, it couldn't kiss, it couldn't cook. It couldn't reproduce. It couldn't go places. It'd just be this big eye. It's kind of funny in a way, but Paul wants us to understand how profound our gifts are within the body of Christ. We need one another. So, you know, I've heard people say, oh, I'm nobody. I'm not important. It's not what Paul says. It's not what God says. So let's get off with this false modesty. Well, not it's not false, but with this over modesty. Paul says you're important. And it doesn't matter if you're a hand or a nose or a toe, or as I've told you before, the tip of somebody's thumb. Everybody has a function. Everybody does something important. So the body is less when we don't do our parts, right? I mean, we feel that today, even though we're not, it's not that we have a project today that we're doing, but we feel the impact of Veterans Day weekend, don't we? People that we love that we don't see, we know what they're doing and we bless them in that, but we still miss them. I don't think Paul's list, which we talked about last week, but it's apostles and teachers and prophets and shepherds is one of his categories. And I don't think these are comprehensive, the list, honestly. I think that there are other things going on in the church as well. What if you're not a prophet or a teacher or a shepherd? What if you're not, or an apostle? What if you're not one of those? Is there something else for you? Of course, there is. There's always ways that we bring our gifts to the body of Christ to make it function. I think it's a lot like walking in somebody's home that is well appointed. And you walk in and you go, wow, that picture looks so great there. I never would have thought of putting something there. That's the way the body of Christ works. So Paul says that you really know what's going on in a church, what's happening to a church when one part stops functioning. It's like having surgery. You know, you can live without your gallbladder. but it has an impact on your body, on your diet, digestion, and all of that when you don't have it. Or if your stomach, if they do something to your stomach, they remove a tumor or they shrink the size of your stomach, it has an effect on you. And so it is in the body of Christ. Berica Leadership Forum has a saying, and they say it a lot, and the saying is setting the table. That's Alfian for making sure that the people that you invite to the table reflect diversity. So whenever they put together a cohort to go through a year's experience together, you can rest assured that they had a template and they made sure that they set the table correctly for that cohort. And so in my year and every other year, we had Filipino and Hmong and Hispanic and African American and Vietnamese and Anglo. We had believer and not. We had gay and straight. We had men and women. We had Republican and Democrat. We were all there. And it enhanced the experience because there really is a point of view they need to hear. So I remember this was toward the end of the year. We had one of the experiences was called the Fishbowl. And in the Fishbowl, they have a group of people, a circle of people in the center, and then another circle around them. And they ask us to talk about, ask the center group to talk about the decision to increase the minimum wage. Well, we had people, we had nonprofits represented, we had business people. And so one of the people in our class owns his own janitorial service, and he was really agitated about the rise of the minimum wage, and he talked about it, and he talked about the impact of it. And then another person on the outer ring represented unions. And she said, I was part of the team that helped put together that increase. And she talked about what it looked like from where she sat. And you come away from those conversations going, oh, I'd never thought about that before. It doesn't mean you necessarily agree, but it's like, oh. That's the way the body of Christ is supposed to function. We're not supposed to look alike, all look alike. We need to set the table. And it's really like John Donne said. John Donne wrote in the 1800s, maybe in the 1700s. He was a pastor and a poet. He wrote a poem that there's a line in it that you've all heard before. John Donne said, no man is an island entire to himself. But each man, he was British, each man is a part of the continent, a part of the main, M-A-I-N-E, capitalized. He says, if a clod of dirt, he doesn't say dirt, but he says, if a clod is washed away to the sea by the ocean's action on the coastline, Europe is the less. Well, yeah, that's true. It's just a clod, but the fact that that clod is now missing means that Europe is smaller. I think that's why God wants us to understand the importance that each one of us play in the operation of the body. When we're not here, it's like Alf saying, the table hasn't been set correctly. When we're not here, it's like Paul says, the body is going to be diminished in its functioning. In the church, this means using everyone's talent, inviting every person, no matter what their color or experience. Church is always better when we do this. Down at Saddleback, and Rick Warren has a model that he uses, and it's an acronym. It's called SHAPE. So when they talk to people at Saddleback about their entry into that church and what they have to contribute, they give them their little SHAPE inventory. Stands for spiritual gifts, heart, that would be your passion that we've talked about, ability. Ability would be what you're trained to do, what you're naturally good at. If I try to put two wires together, I get shocked, but when Matt does it, it's magic. Ability. I've gotten my batteries charged a whole bunch in my lifetime. And it's because I'm not as abled as Matt is. Personality. You wouldn't want to give an introvert an extrovert job. Doesn't work. Well, it may work, but it's going to be awkward. And experience is the E in SHAPE. What have you been doing all your life? What do you have experience at that has given you insight into how things work? So thinking about gifts, thinking about what should I be doing, I think SHAPE's really kind of a good way to think about it, about all the things that come together to make us who we are. We began the series talking about where this all came from. Small group one night, you guys, I wasn't there, but you guys talked about spiritual gifts. It's an important subject. I hope that I have prompted you to think about what yours is. I would really like to recommend that you not overthink this. Is it important? Yes, absolutely it's important. But what you have to contribute may be more obvious than what you admit. Maybe it was there all along, and all you needed to do was ask a friend or some other member of the body of Christ and say, what do you think I'm good at? Where do you think I rise and shine as a person? What do you think that I do that would benefit LifeSpring, for example? I trust that a lot more than an inventory, because most of the inventories that I've looked at or have taken are really just projections of what's up here in my head. I do know me pretty well, but I can still get caught up in this. And it's helpful to have someone else speak into my life about that. So what are your gifts? What are your gifts? But more importantly, do you think about those gifts in terms of what they do for the body of Christ? I think that's the single most important question you can ask. Because they're not meant for your career. They're not meant for the hobby that you have. God said, I gave them to you because I want you to contribute to the growth, maturity, spirituality, the depth, the wisdom of the other people sitting around you. That's an important thing to remember whenever we think about spiritual gifts. I challenge you, if you haven't done this, but I challenge you to unpack your gift. Take it out of its wrapper. And put it on display in your life, in the way that you live and you serve others. Let's pray. Yes? Sure, sure. Yeah. S stands for spiritual gift. H stands for heart. A stands for ability. P stands for personality. And experience. Mm-hmm. It's a great way, really, thanks for asking. It's a great way to think about what we're doing. Let's pray. Dear Father, we want to be your workmen, your hands and feet. Help us to answer the hard questions and to get busy serving you and your church. We pray that those around us will be benefited by our presence. What a formidable force we could be in this world if we did this. Don't let us be complacent and indifferent. In Jesus' name I pray this. Amen.